Corona quarantine 2020. What did you do? Nothing, probably. Well, mostly me too. That doesn't mean you can't eat healthy and eat things that are good for you. You're getting Uber Eats every day. What are you doing? You're wasting a bunch of money, number one, and you're eating like a monster. Come on, man. Have some self-pride. Have some self-respect. Try NTT Nutrition. Check them out at nttfitness.com. They got good food. They got things that are good for you, and they are delivered right to your door, just like Uber Eats. Same thing, but you're eating things. You're eating macros and micros, whatever the hell that means. I don't know. I just eat it, and I know I feel better, and believe it or not, I'm actually looking better too. Check it out. Use my code LEVELUP15 at checkout and get 15% off your first order, nttfitness.com. All right. Let's start the show.
Beach Drive. Rob Park. Central Avenue. We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioCP.com. RadioCP.com presents the Homemade Broadcast.
If you were a program director, ops manager, which you are de facto, but no one admits it, and you say like, hey, Mike's going to replace somebody, this is going to be, who is it going to be?
I would probably get rid of, I would keep Anna and Will, because I think they're both good. I would get rid of that show. We'd probably put some syndicated programming on it, but cheaper, and then I'd add them to different shows.
Oh, okay.
I think Will is a prize that nobody's discovered yet.
Yeah, he's a diamond in the rough, for sure.
Yeah, I would put him on a different show and give him more exposure. But that's the first thing that I would do. So you can't reverse these things on me because I have no problem saying what's on my mind.
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
I'm Doug Stanhope, and if you're listening to this broadcast, don't take my word for it. I got tricked into this in a merch booth.
It's the Homemade Broadcast.
The what podcast?
The Homemade Broadcast.
Homemade?
Homemade Broadcast.
The Homemade Podcast.
Yes, sir.
This is very homemade right here. This is right here, that homemade.
Personnel, this is CVTS. Base vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It is the Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio on RadioSaintPete.com. My name is Will Koontz. Welcome back to the program. 813-693-2124 is the voice and text line. HMBRadio.com is the website. I hope you're well. I hope you're staying safe, staying healthy. Another week of progression with the coronavirus pandemic. It's been a couple months of this now, and things seem to be getting better. You never know. I just saw a article where a city in China is 100 million people are potentially going to be locked down for their second wave. So we'll see what happens. I don't know. Depending on which news outlets you read, Florida is either doing really good or really bad. Just not really much in between. I have eyeballs. I've walked outside. Looks pretty good to me. But yes, I do realize that I am not a scientist or a licensed doctor, medical doctor. Yes, you don't have to tell me that. I'm very well aware of that fact. Governor DeSantis is in some heat this week because a former manager of the coronavirus dashboard is saying that they canned her because she was not manipulating the data that they wanted her to manipulate, apparently. Again, right down party lines. If you're a Democrat, you're rawing this on, cheering it on, that yes, this is true. It's a fact. And if you're probably on the right side of the spectrum, you're going, nope, this lady's full of crap. You know, we don't need to have an opinion on everything right away. We can sit back and let the story unfold a little bit. Social media has convinced us that we need to have an opinion on everything. And it's just not true. So Florida's governor says the woman who is in charge of the state's COVID-19 dashboard has an active criminal case against her, suggesting her claims of data manipulation were just being amplified by those looking for a, quote, boogeyman. I don't really like when they do this either, where they just bring up stuff that's kind of has nothing to do with the current state of affairs. I guess you could say, yeah, it's a character issue thing. I get it. They're doing this with that black dude that got shot out in Georgia, too. They're releasing videos of his interactions with police where he's not very calm and a little aggressive with people, but like, that doesn't mean he deserved to get murdered. And with that, too, why don't we just wait and find out what happens? We're not in the jury. Thank God we don't have to make that decision either. They're going to have a lot more information than what we have, and even the press has for that matter. But they release these videos. I don't know. It just seems like they're trying to convince you of something one way or another when we don't know. I mean, we have a very short video. If there's anything we've learned from Covington Catholic and all these little viral short clips that come out, it's that might not be the entire story. So I don't have an opinion on that. And I really don't have an opinion on this data manipulation thing either. But we're going to wait and see what happens. And I'm sure you will too, right? You're going to do the right thing. Rebecca Jones, a geospatial scientist formerly with the State Department of Health, reportedly told several media outlets she was asked to remove data showing that COVID-19 patients first reported symptoms earlier than state officials originally announced. Okay. She claimed that when she refused to manually change data to drum up support for the plan to reopen, she was given a choice to resign or be fired. Governor Ron DeSantis said on Tuesday that he did not know Jones, but he insisted her termination was over her insubordination, not over her refusal to alter the state's data. During a press conference on Wednesday afternoon with Vice President Mike Pence, DeSantis went further, disputing nearly every claim Jones made in recent interviews. And claims that she's not a data scientist. She is somebody that's got a degree in journalism, communication, and geography. She's not involved in collating any data. She does not have the expertise to do that. She's not an epidemiologist. She is not the chief architect of our web portal. That is a false statement. So they're claiming she's some high-level scientist, and they're saying that she's not. That should be an easy job for reporters to look up what her degree's in. So I don't know, depending on where you look, it's, you know, you're going to get their opinion, which is the problem with our news. I wanted to play this clip because DeSantis got a little ornery with some of these reporters, and I got a kick out of it. It's because I like seeing them suffer. I like seeing them get abused. Sorry. I do. I think a lot of them deserve it. Let's see. Where is it? There it is. Let's play this clip.
Our data is available. Our data is transparent. In fact, Dr. Birx has talked multiple times about how Florida has the absolute best data. So any insinuation otherwise is just typical partisan narrative trying to be spun. And part of the reason is that because you got a lot of people in your profession who waxed poetically for weeks and weeks about how Florida was going to be just like New York. Wait 2 weeks. Florida's going to be next. Just like Italy, wait 2 weeks. Well, hell, we're 8 weeks away from that, and it hasn't happened. Not only do we have a lower death rate, well, we have way lower deaths generally, we have a lower death rate than the Acela Corridor, D.C., everyone up there. We have a lower death rate than the Midwest, Illinois, Michigan, Indiana, Ohio. But even in our region, Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, Florida has the lower death rate. And I was the number one landing spot from tens of thousands of people leaving the number one hot zone in the world to come to my state. So we've succeeded, and I think that people just don't want to recognize it because it challenges their narrative, it challenges their assumption, so they gotta try to find a boogeyman. Maybe it's that there are black helicopters circling the Department of Health. If you believe that, I got a bridge in Brooklyn I'd like to sell you.
Boom, Ronnie D, not in a good mood. Oh, man. Well, also, Vice President Mike Pence was here and in Florida and praised Florida for being a leader in the reopening process.
Well, thank you very much, Governor. It is good to be with you and good to be back in Florida as this state is really leading the way. open up America again. And I want to thank you for your leadership.
Yeah, so there you go. That's nice. Getting some praise from the big dogs. 813-693-2124 is the voice and text line. I want to know how you are feeling about this opening up. Are you feeling like Florida's doing an okay job so far? Are you nervous? Are you apprehensive? I want to know about it. 813-693-2124. Creative Loafing Tampa had an article this week in which a journalist lurked somebody's Instagram and did a story on it, and then put out a tweet making fun of the Tampa Bay Times for stalking the same person by going out and doing real journalism. Yes, it's my favorite person. I don't even want to mention his name anymore. And you know what? I'm not picking on Creative Loafing anymore. I feel bad for Creative Loafing. I really do. I saw Ray Roa begging for money this week. They're doing some press club thing, begging to have their job saved because they're going down the tubes, they're going down the toilet. And I have empathy for them because I know that they're doing a job in which they love and they are potentially getting it ripped away from them. And I feel that pressure being in radio, it's very rewarding. Doesn't pay great. Some people make a lot of money. Everybody else makes no money. And I know they're struggling, media struggling in general. But then you read stuff like this and you go, this is why, guys. This is why. And Ray Roa put out a tweet saying, hey, we're raising money for this club. And this guy, this other podcaster from the area said, hey, well, why don't you not alienate half your audience? And Ray went on this long diatribe about, these alt weeklies are the voice for the voiceless. And we tell the stories that people don't want to hear. Guys, you're mainstream. Your points of view are entirely mainstream. And this is the last time I'm going to pick on them, I swear, because they're very honest about what they are. They are for progressive movement. They're telling stories about, they do a great job, again, with arts and entertainment stories about local artists and stuff. They do a great job at that. And it's a shame if we do lose that. But their politics section and just their commentary are just in the pits. So my buddy Colin Wolf wrote a story about coronavirus cases. He's shaming Tom Brady for selling a $45 immunity supplement. Tom Brady has TB12. He's our new Tampa Bay Buccaneers quarterback. He has a company, like a lot of other people do. Health and wellness are billion-dollar industries. I get it. If you're not a fan of them, if they're snake oil, I get it. I kind of understand. But you're free to not buy it. You know, and they're saying, well, it's $45. You make sure to put that in there. That's not really that much for a supplement, too, by the way. But all these people are broke. But so am I. Tom Brady promised a big announcement today, and he did this on his Instagram. Well, he said, basically, it's a fancy jar of unproven coronavirus supplements. No point in that. I watched the video. At no point did he say it was for coronavirus. He just said it's an immunity supplement. During these times, you need to keep your immune system up. And so Tom pushed this thing and said, here, it's on this website, go buy it. And this asswipe decided that, no, this is what I'm going to spend my day doing, writing about the new Tampa Bay quarterback that everybody loves. So I don't know. I mean, look, they are what they are. I totally get it, but they spit in your face and then you go, all right, well, screw you. What? Come on. I need a job, man. I need a job. So they're already trying to get in time. I get go out after that Target too. It's a big Target. I understand why they would do that, but especially when he shamed the Times for going out and taking pictures of the practice that Tom Brady was doing at one of the local high schools, why this dumbass sits at home on Instagram and types away on his keyboard and actually doesn't do journalism, just writes insane crap. Oh, and that fact that they think that they are the voice for the voiceless, when they're totally, totally mainstream. This guy writes constantly about white supremacy and these groups and doesn't go and interview any of these groups. What he does is very simple. He goes on the SPLC website and puts in the name of the group, whatever responsible for. Oh, look at this. According to the SPLC, this is a hate group. And then that's all the research he does on these groups that he doesn't like, these conservative groups. And by the way, I don't know. Most of these groups I've never heard of in my life. They might be white supremacist groups or hate groups. I don't know. I do know this. The SPLC has been sued many times. Many times. And they've lost. They've went after a lot of people, including even Muslims and women. Some, I can't remember her name, Tatiana Ali, that's an actress, but something Ali, she was a Muslim lady who was, her cause was female circumcision. And they smeared her as Islamophobic in the SPLC book. So she goes, what? And sued them and won a bunch of money, millions of dollars. There was another Muslim dude, too, like, was a terrorist. I can't remember his name. He's friends with Sam Harris. He sued them, too, because they did the same thing. They said, oh, this guy's Islamophobic. He goes, but I'm a practicing Muslim. And he sued them, and he won. And so they've paid out a lot of people, and there's a lot of people suing them. The SPLC is an activist website. It's one of those things that are put there to discredit anybody who goes against certain political views. And they use it because it works, but people are finding out about this stuff and it's not working anymore. So this journalist goes, instead of talking to these groups, hey, what's going on here? You guys are a white supremacist group? What's happening? And have them answer that question. They might tell them to F off because a lot of these people don't trust the press anymore, especially these kind of people. But they're so incurious, and that's what really bothers me about this thing. Like, if you're a journalist, wouldn't you want to get the whole story? Wouldn't you be like, hey, what's going on? No, I'll just trust this other website. That's what I'll do, and I'll sit on my couch and then beg for money, beg people to let me keep my job and continue to do this. Dude, you suck. You're an activist. You're not a journalist. Just that fact of sitting there, well, this website said it, so that's all I need to do. What an ass. Does that not bother you? I talk about this all the time, and I think most people just roll their eyes because they're just like, I don't know, dude. I don't know. I need to find. So that's it. That's all I'm going to say about them. Good luck to CL. I hope they do stick around because I will miss their arts coverage if they're not there anymore. But maybe I can buy that paper for pennies on the dollar and make it what it used to be, what it's supposed to be. A place where to highlight Tampa Bay restaurants and arts and entertainment. That would be good. 813-693-2124 is the voice and text line. This podcast is brought to you by Truvy Salon and Spa. The salons are back open. You can go get your haircut. I'm still holding out a little bit, but I know they've been super busy. So you might want to make your appointment now a little bit in advance to make sure you got a spot in the next few weeks. Truvy. TRUV is in Victory, Y Salon and Spa, 8908 4th Street North, Unit B. Make your appointment today. Look good. Feel good. TruvySalonandSpa.com.
This is the Homemade Broadcast. This is RadioCP.com.
All right, there you go. I'm going to leave them alone for a little while, hopefully for good. I would like to just leave them in the dust and not let them affect my brain as much as they do. But on Stay Woke this week, we did talk a little bit about my current predicament and, you know, things that maybe I got myself into, things that other people have thrust upon me. And we had a nice talk on Stay Woke about, I don't know, just this stuff. And I want to play it for you. Hopefully you enjoy it. That show is on at midnight on 102.5 The Bone, right after the Johnny B Show, which I'm currently the executive producer on from 9 to midnight. Check it out, theboneonline.com. Make sure you get the Bone app because you can get all those shows that are on the Bone from Mike Calta all the way up until us at the end. You're talking, what is that, 19 hours of live talk radio every day on an FM format. Very unique, nothing like it. Well, very few things like that exist in the United States. So very special thing. No matter where you live, you can get the app or listen online, theboneonline.com. Let's play this clip from Stay Woke, but this clip is brought to you by Homemade Podcast. Homemadepodcasts.com is a media consulting company. It's my company. If you're interested in podcasting but don't know where to begin, I can help you because I'm talking to you through that format right now. So if you want to reach new and existing clientele, if you're a business or you just want to do it as a hobby, it's really fun, and I think you might enjoy it. So hit me up, homemadepodcasts.com, or you can leave me a message, text message, voice message on that HMB radio line, 813-693-2124. All right, let's listen to this clip from Stay Woke.
You know what was so sad? We were at your house on Saturday, and you were looking at a video of Brittany Gonzalez. And I saw her, and she's like, she's so hot and cute and pretty, and she was doing this little like dance, and she's like looking
sultry
at the
dance.
Looking back at the camera, all like coy, you know, like doing a little flirty smile, and I was just like, I could never pull that off, and you were like, yeah, no way not, and I was like, hey.
And that's not a knock on you, because you are a pretty girl. I mean, and you
thank you for being honest. Yes,
but it's just you have a different energy.
Yeah.
About you. You
for
don't
sure.
have that like just
flirty.
Oozing sex appeal.
No, definitely
yeah, like
not.
Brittany has.
Never have. Yeah, never have. I can't pull it off. I feel almost like a man in a dress if I were to do that. Like it would just feel like that's not me.
No disrespect to Brittany, but you just have more to offer. I think.
Upstairs.
You're more
right.
And have we talked about this before? Like the you only have so many points that you can use,
right.
For your character,
all mine
which
went
is
to my
your
brain.
Life. A lot of your no, I mean not all of it went to your brain. It's not a flirtiness or whatever you call it. Like because you're an attractive girl.
I have to try. I definitely am not like, oh, she wakes up and she looks great sort of thing. But like if I like dress up and shave my legs and like do all the things, like I can make it work.
Yeah.
But I'm definitely not. I don't give
off
that
different.
Energy.
It's
yeah.
different though from being like good looking and having sex appeal are two different things.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
And
yes.
She just has that. She oozes.
She has
sex.
A yeah. different energy, right? About yeah. it. She's very flirt. She's like flirty on camera, and she pulls it off well. And I think that, and I look at that, and I'll never be that. And I could, and not saying like I would never try to be something I'm not because it would not be authentic. But what she has is so much more marketable. And I'll look at people like that, and I go, God, like if I could just. And again, I'm not saying like I'm going to try to be that because I'm just thinking hypothetically. I go, if I was her, like that, what she has is so much more marketable than what I have. You know what I mean? Like her strengths are just so much more. Like I see, like, you know, she used to be in this market, Kenzie K. Mm-hmm. She's in Chicago now.
Yeah.
Like I watch her do her work. She's kind of like in the same line as Brittany in terms of like she's kind of like a hot urban station sort of thing. And she's like in Chicago, like just murdering the scene. And it's the same sort of, she gives that like sexy vibe sort of, and I look at her and I'm like, God, she is so marketable. Like her package is so marked. She's pretty. She's into like fashion. She's into like celebrity stuff. And she can like talk really well. And she's good with people. And I listen to her on the air. Sometimes she'll post like clips of her talking to people. And just even her laugh is authentic. You know, like people like, she can like laugh at something that's not funny, and it sounds like it. What was said was really funny. I can't. I go, like she's like, like she does it really well. So yeah. I look at that and I go, God, that's just like I wish that I had something that was like more marketable. I don't know what I'm gonna do with this. Damn it!
Well, you know you're right too. It's in radio, and I think in entertainment, unfortunately for women now. There's obstacles for men too.
Sure.
But you're kind of, I feel like you probably get more success with your sex appeal than anything else.
Sure.
I mean, even, you know, you look at Brittany Gonzalez, that's a good example. Carmen is a good example of that too. I mean, she's a good looking chick.
Uh-huh.
She's got big old, you know.
What?
These
what
things.
Is that? What
boobies.
Are you pointing at? Bloops? Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, she has
and,
boobs.
And a good
I have
butt.
Boobs.
And she posts them on
yes,
Instagram,
yes.
And it works very well for her.
It
she
does.
Gets a lot of
it
followers.
Does. Yeah.
And I think you could, you know, I mean, men find you appealing on this station. You get messages all the time from men trying to proposition
you. I mean, yes, it's not necessarily flattering. Like, it's yeah. like, oh, okay. It's
right.
Like,
no, I understand. But
doldrums
of there's something there, but
society.
You're not anywhere close to what Carmen's doing on Instagram
no
and stuff
way,
as
no
far
way.
As people that are following you.
No
and
way.
Stuff.
No
also,
way.
You know, she's on the morning show
sure,
and you're on later
just
at
got
night.
A larger audience.
Yeah. But and it's kind of unfair because although I think that a lot of program directors would probably look for someone like you to do shows to be a number one in.
I agree and I disagree. I agree because it's just a diversity thing.
Yes.
Yes.
But you should absolutely take advantage of that.
Oh,
I mean, like
I
if,
do.
That, if that's your see, and you know, I know that I'm gonna get you know crap about it, but being a white guy in radio, there are so many white guys in radio.
You need to be gay, dude.
I know.
Need,
I gotta have.
You
something.
Need something. You need. You need to be gay.
It would help. It would be helpful if
have,
I had a little.
Do you
something.
Have any? You have any diseases? Yeah.
Diseases? Any, not that I know of.
Like, can you be clinically diagnosed with? Do you have bipolar disorder? Or something?
I could probably get diagnosed with bipolar.
Yeah, or like, what's the personality? Borderline. What about borderline?
I don't
borderline.
Think that's enough, though.
Damn it.
You know, Jew. I kind of got like a half Jew type thing, but yeah. Jews. You know, they're not really, you know.
You got to be like,
Jews
you, need
media?
You need a hate crime. Like, someone, like, there was a hate
God.
Crime against me, then it would probably
yeah,
be.
But they're just
yeah,
not. And
yeah.
it's, I remember talking about that with J.B. Ball.
Yeah.
He's a comic, and he's out in L.A. now. But I went to one of their shows, and we were talking about, I was with my buddy Zach, who's a comic, too. And J.B. brought that up. He goes, it's tough. He's like, I get more opportunities as a black guy, then he's like, I wouldn't want to be a white stand-up comedian. And it's the same thing because if you look at comedy,
mm-hmm.
overwhelmingly a kind of a white guy thing. Not so much anymore, but I mean, I would say the majority of comics are white men.
Well, is it could just because there's more white guys here, like just a numbers game?
No, I mean just in general, just in stand-up comedy, it's mostly a white male. And not so much anymore, but it traditionally.
But that's what
was.
I'm saying. I mean, if we're looking at, say, stand-ups in America, there's just more white guys. Therefore, there would just
yeah,
be,
maybe,
you know.
Maybe. But I think now, like, you see what Comedy Central's doing with. I did a podcast about this where I went over Comedy Central stand-ups page.
I haven't watched Comedy Central
man.
In years.
It's bad. It's bad. And you know, no. Well, comedy is subjective.
Sure.
So some people may enjoy these things, but I've watched some of these clips and I go. This
on YouTube or
on their Instagram.
Oh,
go to
okay.
CC Stand Up and watch some of the clips.
I think I've seen
the majority
some
of them are brutal. I mean, brutally bad.
Garbage. Yeah.
And I know that it's an objective art form, so some people may enjoy it. It seems to me that it's diversity game, where they just get anybody's not a white. They just sprinkle in a white guy every now and again. And it was even like I saw Facebook came out with these avatars.
Yeah.
And they USA Today did a story where they had a bunch of avatars lined up. Facebook launches, and they had, you know, it was a rainbow of avatars of people. There was one that I noticed that was missing out of the rainbow of avatars.
In
I mean,
the
they had like
advertisement?
A they had a no, they're just showing like what the avatars look
yeah.
like, and they had like a Muslim with a garb on, and a guy with a turban, mm-hmm. and. Black people and Chinese people, Asian people, like that.
Yeah, the
but
whole
there was
gamut.
One group that was missing.
Wait, I think I know. White guy?
White, no white guys.
White
into
guy!
That. And, you know, it doesn't bother me. Like, I'm not pissed off when I see that, but I just go, it's just, there is kind of a thing where they're like, enough with white guys. We're done with white guys. We need to highlight some other people. And maybe rightfully so, but you're also not getting the meritocracy because there are a lot of white guys in this country
sure.
and they don't get the attention maybe that they should get because they're maybe better at stuff. You know, you're just
right.
not getting the quality, especially with. So I think, like, take advantage of being a Jew and being a woman
trust
in this business.
Me, I would never not do that. I understand. Everybody has a set of cards that they, you know, that they can walk into the world with. And I will play every card to the best of my ability.
And I'll write
you
your
know, and I don't,
I
will happily be, I mean, if I have to even finagle and pretend to say like, oh, we need to see more women and I don't give an F about it. I love when people think that I have like some sort of agenda. Like, God bless you if you think that I'm doing this to show that women can. I don't care about anybody but me, bitch. I don't care what. Listen, I hate when people do that, when they attach themselves to you because they're somewhat, because we both share like two X chromosomes. Like, get out of my face. Get out of here. I don't want to see you. Mm. And people like. I mean, to some degree, I get it. I saw the Michelle Obama documentary, mm-hmm. and as much as I'm like, it shouldn't be based on race, I do get the value of, like, young girls seeing, like, a black woman in power and going, oh, like, that's me. I can do that. Like, watching that document, that's the only thing I got from it. Everything else is just, you know, mumbo jumbo to me, but hearing the, like, the youth be like, wow, like, I really look up to Michelle, and it's like, well, why don't you just look up to anybody that tries hard? But I get it, especially from a young mind, you want to see people that look like you. I get the value of that, but that is not my purpose. That's not my agenda. That's not my narrative. I'll never say we need more of this gender or that gender or this race or that. I'm all about individuals.
Yeah.
You do something, if, like, I don't want to, and it's almost insulting when I hear people say, like, oh, this woman is, like, a role model for young girls. It's like, if she tried hard and she accomplished stuff, shouldn't she just be a role model for anybody? Like, that offends, really offends me, but that's, like, yeah. annoying, because I'm like, why are we being segregated? Like, if someone tries hard and they accomplish something, they should just be a role model, or...
In general,
In general, to anybody, boys, girls, black, white, purple, it shouldn't matter, so that's annoying to me. I think it can be just, like, a boring... Like, I don't want to just talk about... If the most interesting thing about me is that I'm a female, then I've failed. Because
mm-hmm.
that's something that I had no control over.
Yeah.
You know, we talk about this all the time. I remember, like, during the Women's March and stuff, I was like, I'm not proud to be a woman. And people were like, what? I go, well, I didn't earn it. I didn't do it. It just happened.
I know. And I kind of look at it that way, too. Like, I don't give a crap what you are.
Right.
You were born, whatever you were born with. But, I mean, there's a lot of the population of political beliefs that identity is really paramount in all this stuff, and a lot of it, they want policy based on identity. So, and I mean, you go, all right, well, fair enough. I think that's the wrong way to go about stuff.
Isn't it kind of gross that, like, your identity is tied in with things that have, like, nothing to do with, like, who you are as a person? Like, it's your, the
well,
color
a lot of
your
people
skin.
Like, literally, that's all they are, is their
that's
identity.
It's just like,
they
you are black, you are white, you're a woman, you're a man. Like, that's your identity. Like, that seems, that's like surface level stuff. Like, what about, like, what do you value? Like, what are your thoughts about things?
Well,
how
they
do you
value their identity?
Right. Yeah. But to me, that's just sad.
I think it's, I feel the same way. I mean, but, you know, that's just what they are. But they're non-player characters. They have no... Yeah. You know, substance to them outside of their identity.
And no one would boo you for saying, I'm proud to be an Asian woman, or I'm proud to be a black woman. Like, you can't boo that person.
Right.
You have to applaud that. Oh, how brave of you. Where I'm just like, you were just born. You didn't do anything. Go accomplish something and then come back
and
talk to me.
Well, they can't. You know, a lot of you, that, well, I can't because society is against. I know, but I mean, that's how they feel. And
I know.
And whenever I hear it, I just go, man, if you really do, I don't know if they really do feel that way. I don't like to do what's in their hearts and minds.
Right.
But
you can't.
If they do feel that way, those people, I feel so bad that they do feel that.
And I remember I heard this on Louie. I thought it was really interesting point. Because in that series, like, he would say things that were, like, really deep and profound, even though it was, like, a dark comedy. Mm-hmm. But he would say if someone tells you, like, that you hurt their feelings or they feel a certain way, you can't tell them that they're wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you can't be like, you're wrong. It's like, well, this is just how I feel. It's like, okay, well, that's valid, I guess. What else do we have, you know?
Yeah.
Let's take this call. Hello and welcome to the program. Not sure how we got here, but go ahead.
hey, Will.
Hey.
What's up?
Like, what you were talking about, like, briefly. I mean, it sucks. Like, people can be, like, offended easily.
Mm-hmm.
You can't control how people can react, but you are in complete control of your own reaction.
Correct, yeah.
So, I mean, I've kind of learned, like, you know, like, working with a lot of different people, just take everything with a grain of salt.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, unless it's, like, really, really bad, like, I mean, like, there's no real reason to interact.
Mm-hmm. So, are you the type of person that when you see something on the internet that you don't like, you just keep scrolling?
I'm so out of the loop.
Do you feel the need
to engage?
Even,
and I purposely avoid news just because I don't want to be sad.
Really? That's really, really interesting.
In some ways, like, ignorance is bliss.
No, 100%. And I definitely think that that, like, is the way, if you want to live a happy life, that's definitely the way to do it. Do people ever shame you for, like, not knowing what's going on? Or
oh, totally. Like, I've been like, if they're judgmental, like, that's their own problem.
Of
course. I mean, like, I can't control how they feel about me.
Of
course. So, I mean, like, so, I'm going to try to keep on living my best life, and, like, whatever happens, happens.
That's really interesting. I really appreciate that, because if you want to live a happy life, I really think that that's the formula to do it. I don't think that, like, diving headfirst into news, especially bad news every day, which is pretty much most of the news every day, is really going to mm-hmm. give you the sense of fulfillment and happiness. It, like, I don't know. I don't know. I'm not going to speak for Will, but for myself, like, I intrinsically find it interesting and important, but it doesn't make me happy.
I mean, like, the head story is never, like, somebody, like, saves a cat from a tree. You know, like, I mean, it's right. all, like, negative stuff. And, like, why do I, like, even, like, I care, but, like, I don't care enough to, like, want to know, you know, like,
yeah.
I'm doing the best I can. I'm doing what I can with what I can.
Right,
like,
because the news that we're indulging in every day is stuff that we have no control over. We're literally just
depressing.
Reading results. Right. No, it's totally depressing, or it's sad, or... But I mean, obviously, we do it for the job. But I feel like I'm not trying to speak for Will, but I know he's very interested in, you know, politics and what's going on and things like that. I am as well. I think I enjoy discussing it. It doesn't make me happy, but it is something I think I'm interested. I'm intrigued by. Would you say that you enjoy, like, upsetting yourself or, like, doomsday scrolling? Like, is that, like, why do we look for? I mean, obviously, for our job, we have to. But beyond that, it's an interest, I think, that we both have.
Well, so my interest, it kind of gets conflated, and I guess it involves politics. But I'm more kind of obsessed with media now itself, and journalists, and finding out that they're writing things that, and just how they frame things that are not mm-hmm. that are, you know, factual but not really truthful. So they write facts, but they're out of context, and that's what bugs me now. Mm-hmm. And then I end up, because they write about, you know, Trump all day, and then I get accused of being a Trump supporter because I'm like, that's wrong.
Right.
Just because I'm defending, you know, they look at it as like I'm defending the president as
right.
opposed to just being like, no, there's just this idiot is wrong.
But does making like you indulging in the news, like pretend we didn't have this radio job, do you think you would do it anyways?
Yeah, because it's just been something that sparked my interest from, and mostly Twitter.
Even though it doesn't bring you any happiness or joy. Or does it? Does it bring you some sort of, like, fulfillment and joy?
It's like a masochism.
Maybe not happiness, but, like, satisfaction.
Yeah, it's like being a masochist. Like, torturing yourself, you still get this weird self-flagellation joy out of it.
I do feel a sense of duty, and not just because of this job, but much like... See, you're a better person than... Was it Joe? What was your name again?
James.
I feel like you're what would I say? You're like a better person than me because if people were like, people can shame me into not knowing stuff. Well, in this one regard, like you are able to just let it go. If people are saying, why don't you know what's going on? You're able to be like, well, leave me alone. It's not your life. But for me, I go, God, I should know what's going on. Like, I feel like I want to be on the cutting edge of knowing everything that's going on because I would never want to be someone.
Your own reality.
Right. But I would never want to be someone at the proverbial water. What a cooler that is like, oh, I didn't hear about that. What happened? And then people school you, and I don't like to be schooled, so I have to stay on, like, top of everything. And what sucks is, like, you learn the news cycle, right? 24 hours, the next morning you wake up, it starts all over again. Brand new news cycle, you know? You're never done.
Maybe your problem is you care too much.
Oh, 100%. 100%. Yeah, no, I definitely do. But I do find it valuable, and I think as of late, the last, like, 5 years, I'm like obsessed with the news. I think that I'm intrigued by how things operate, you know? Mm-hmm. And in order to do that, you have to know what's going on. And then you also have to have a lot of historical context. So then you have to dip back into the archives, understand how we got here. I'm really interested in history. I love history.
Yeah.
And in human patterns and lying, cheating, scandals, pedophile rings. It's fun. It's
a
good time.
You know what? I know why the media thing bothers me so much, because I had a personal experience with it.
Mm.
I literally had fake news written about me in 2000.
Oh, I remember this.
When I got busted for writing graffiti.
Right.
Yeah. If you want to hear that story, go to listen to my podcast this week, hmbradio.com. I tell you the story about what happened. But I think that's where it piqued my interest. And now with Twitter, media is exposed so easily now. Right. So I'm just like, these mother you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
So it just kind of becomes a just an interest of mine.
Right.
Yeah.
There you go. All right. Thanks, James, for calling in. We appreciate your input.
Bye.
Bye. Do you wish that sometimes that you wish you didn't care so much? Like, because every day you just, like, bogged down with.
So
every once in a while I go, God, why am I
so like being I like being a contrarian. I like being on the opposite side of what I know what most people are. Now, has it affected me socially? Probably. I think there's a lot of people that want nothing to do with me because they think that I am this thing. Hmm. That frustrates me. That really does, because they don't understand. But also I understand that I kind of brought that on myself. It bugs me, though, that they don't ever ask, like, hey, what did you mean by that? Are you saying, you know?
Like they think they know.
They just know. And yeah. Then they'll kind of write you off. I've had, like, people that I thought were my friends, like, unfollow me on Twitter or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, whatever. It's Twitter. But how am I supposed to, like, hey, what the hell? Like, if I see you in person, you know, obviously you don't want to mention that. That's weird.
That's petty.
But it's petty. Just like, you know, so it's definitely losing me currency. Like, and I've talked to even people that are, like, downtown, you know, St. Pete. I used to be kind of like a low-key somebody down there. Like, I was running comedy shows, mm-hmm. and I was doing my podcast and talking to these artists and stuff. And I don't really get to do that anymore just because of my schedule. I don't get to have people in. But there's a lot of people that, you know, I've sent them messages and just don't respond anymore. And, you know, I used to do the Mayor's podcast, Rick Kreisman's.
Mm-hmm.
They don't mess with me anymore either. Ben does. Ben Kirby's all right. Mm-hmm. You know, he calls in from time to time. But, like, I don't think those people really like me anymore. Mm-hmm. And I think it's because they think I am a certain thing because they're binary thinkers. Mm. Like, if you're not on our team, you must be on the other team.
Right.
And that's really not the case. But these are things that I brought on myself, and it's something I have to adapt to and deal with.
And it also doesn't help that you are part of the you know, you're the patriarchy, you know, the white, cisgendered, straight male, which is unfortunate for you. And I'll be honest, like, I definitely take advantage of my status, my identity, in quotes, which to me is it's funny because I think it's stupid, but I still take advantage of it. You know,
I mean, like, look,
like, I'll be like, oh, how could I be racist or sexist or any if I say anything, if I'm a atheist Jew chick, you know, and they go, oh, you're right. You could say whatever you want. I go, exactly. And then I just keep doing it, even though I don't agree with that statement. Like, I'm just like we should all just be individuals, you know?
Yeah. So. Yeah. I don't know. It is unfortunate, but, like, this is what I chose to do. So you know, as much as it's alienated me from certain people, it's brought me closer with other people. And I know there's more people out there like me, too, which Twitter has been good for.
Right.
You know, Twitter's garbage, but I know that there's other people thinking about this stuff, which makes me feel better that I'm not alone.
Yeah.
And luckily, I do have my friends, you know, my close friends. So I still have people, you know, and those people that don't mess with me anymore or don't talk to me. We're never really friends anyways. But it just... You know, it just kind
of
stinks.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, and I feel like I just hate people out there thinking they know me when they really don't.
All right, there you go. Stay woke. Midnight 102.5. The Bone, theboneonline.com. Please do check it out. Follow me on social media, home_made_man on Instagram and Twitter. Radio St. Pete is Radio STPETE. We have some very exciting things coming to Radio St. Pete. I'm very excited to tell you about them very soon, hopefully. But stay tuned for that. Stay tuned to Radio St. Pete if you're listening over there for Frank Rivera's Jazz Show, followed by The Indie Circuit. And if you listen on podcast, thanks a bunch. Tell a friend about it, please. Retweet that stuff. Share them. That really helps out. And I appreciate you tuning in. My name is Will Koontz. This has been HMB Radio on RadioSt.Pete.com. Have a great week. Stay healthy. Stay safe. Wear a mask if you want to. See you later.
You have found the Homemade Broadcast on RadioSaintPete.com.